Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
Is anybody hot in here? I am so feeling really hot. Hopefully I haven't reached that stage of life yet. Hopefully. Well, it's good to be here today. It's been pretty wet, but it's great to be in the house today, and it looks like it's fining up a little bit. Keith was on to preach this morning, but we thought we'd give him a rest this week, just as he starts the week next week, just have a full week's rest. So that's what we did. So you've got to put up with me today. So really my title this morning is, and it's probably a carry-on from Keith, and it's probably, honestly, it's very much a carry-on from the week we've just been through. You only get one life on this earth. Make it count. When stuff happens in our lives, sometimes it really shakes us up, doesn't it? It really makes us think about everything. It stops us in our tracks. And we've had that sort of week. And I was I tapped into church last Sunday to watch Chris Ruby sideways. and Chris shared last week about his journey, you know, being a minister for so many years serving God, and then all of a sudden he got the big C, cancer, and the steps that he went through and the place that he's at now in God and helping people, and it stopped him in his tracks. But he gives ultimate praise and glory to God, because God makes good out of bad. He has the final say in anything that happens. He always gets the glory in the end. Jesus was victorious. You know, Jesus went to the cross for us, and things, you know, things at that time must have looked so grim for the people that loved Jesus and really didn't take hold of all the things that he'd been teaching on and saying leading up to his crucifixion. Things must have looked very, very grim. And the devil must have thought, I've won. I've won. But on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. The victory was his, and the devil's plans were null and void. That was God's plan for earth, for you and I. That was God's plan. We are God's plan. Do you know that this morning? Do you remember that? We are God's plan. Right now, living here, day in, day out, we are God's plan for this earth. And it extended from Jesus sacrificing himself on the cross and dying for you and I and defeating the devil then and there, that we can be victorious here on earth. Romans 8, verse 31 to 37. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'm going to try and, I might read it from here. I ran out of proper paper and I've got this glossy paper and I can't read my notes. Romans 8, verse 31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ who died, more than that, who raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Verse 37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, or nothing else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ, the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That sums it up. Jesus went to the cross for you and I. We are God's plan living here right now. Right now. You know, last Saturday, it's our ritual on a sad day that we go out to a cafe usually and we have breakfast. And usually because we live on the other side of the coast, as you go down to the surf club at Terrigal, look at the beach, take it all in, relax and eat breakfast. And last Saturday I went, let's just go somewhere different. Just felt, let's just do something different today. And so we went over to Avoca and we went to a cafe there and we sat in the cafe. We ordered our meal and I asked Keith a question and he couldn't answer me. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? This is a basic question. You should be able to answer my question. He just couldn't answer me. And then all of a sudden he said, I don't feel well. And he slipped down the side of the wall at the cafe table. Everything from that moment just went fast forward in my brain. I don't know what I was thinking. I actually got up and I left him and I raced up to the counter at the cafe. I said, call an ambulance. And then I raced back to him. So I don't even know why I did that. And as I raced back to him, there ended up being a policeman and a doctor in the cafe who were eating breakfast. So they came over. We ended up being next door to the surf club who came over with oxygen. It all happened so quickly and we were sitting there and they put the oxygen on and Keith was still gone somewhere and eventually he started to come back very, very slowly but he kept going in and out and I just kept praying and I thought, stuff it, I know there's people around everywhere, I don't care. And I started praying and I thank God that Keith's life is in his hands but he's meant to be here right now and that we're thanking God that there's going to be a miracle. He's going to be okay. And so I just prayed that prayer and kept praying in tongues over Keith. The ambulance finally got there. It felt like forever waiting for the ambulance. They finally got there. They put him on a stretcher and said, take him up to the hospital. And the policeman that had been in the cafe came up to me and said, I really think that the man upstairs was looking after him. And I went, yeah, he was. And that was the only conversation I got to have with the people in the cafe. And then they said, don't drive yourself to the hospital. I said, yes, I am. So I got in the car and I followed the ambulance to the hospital. And I remember just being in the car and just continuing to pray and say, devil, you ain't got our number. You're not getting the glory for this. God's getting the glory for this. Everything's going to be okay. We are not going on another adventure somewhere off track than where we should be. We are not going to give this the attention and have a big problem in our lives. It's not going to happen. We're not doing it. And so drove along having this conversation and had the radio on. The radio came on and there was this song, I forget who sings it, might be Bethel, and it was God, I believe that you do miracles. And it just kept going over and over and over in the car. I believe that you can do miracles. I believe you can do miracles. And, you know, the rest is history. We got to hospital and Keith got care and we went from there. But when stuff happens in our lives, it is a good time to stop, reset, think about where we're headed, think about what we're doing. Think about God's plan for our lives. I was talking to Val this week, and some of you may or may not know, but Val's sister passed away this week. And he wasn't close to his sister, but God really used him in the last moments of his sister's passing this week. And he had some special time with his sister and Annie, who's Val's wife, was in the hospital. The three of them got some spare time in the hospital where nobody else was, left them alone for a couple of hours. And Val said to his sister, you know, when you plan to go on a journey or a holiday, you get ready for it, don't you? You get your passport ready, you pack your bag, you got your itinerary. Some people do, some people don't. I do. You got all your stuff ready and you planned for your next journey. But he said to his sister, are you planned for your next journey? Do you know where you're going? Have you made peace with God? Do you want to make peace with God? I just thought, that's just such a great piece of words. That's just such a great lead in to where we're going. Anyway, she made her peace with God, gave her heart to Jesus. They had some time. They put some worship music on. They had some time together enjoying the presence of God and celebrating her life. And then the next day she passed. And he said to me it was the best time he's ever had with his sister, right before she left. But it's important. It's important to think about those things, where you're headed. And it's important, if you are still here on planet Earth, you are still needed. There are still things for you to complete. That's the deal. That's it. It's not complicated. If you're still here, there are still things for you to do. The Father still has things for you here on earth. Otherwise, you'd be gone. Your mission, should you wish to accept it, is to love God, love others, do good on earth, spreading the righteousness of God. Letting go and letting God have his way. Having fun. Do you remember what fun was? Fun, F-U-N. Do you remember? Do you need to remember it? If you do, stop and have some fun. Life gets too serious. I regularly got to tell myself that. I'm a very serious person some days. We are very serious some days. We got to have fun. You only get one life. Make it count. Have fun. Live abundant lives full of much joy and peace and purpose and less of judgment. Particularly in the house of God, there's a lot of judgment that goes on. You know, there's a lot of judgment in us as Christians, like we have some sort of right. More peace. More joy, more grace, more forgiveness, no matter what you're facing. See, we're all facing something. I know many of you here today and I know what you're walking through. I know many of you here today, I don't know what you're walking through. But no matter what you're facing, you're still here. You're still here. God still has something for you, no matter what you're facing. You're not alone. We're with God. And let me tell you, I was so, so, so pleased that what we went through last weekend, that God was with us and is with us. And it's not over. It's not over. You know, sometimes things come around our life to take us out. The devil roars around like a lion looking for who he shall devour. And when we get tired, and I've talked about this, especially at this time of the year, we get tired and we let all our stuff hang out. We kick the cat and we have an argument when we wouldn't have had an argument before where we've kept the peace, and then suddenly we blow up or something happens because we get tired or we get tired of the fight. Don't get tired of the fight. Don't get tired of the fight. It's when the enemy comes to steal your joy, to steal your peace, to steal whatever you have banked up over the time in your life as a Christian. Don't let the devil make that withdrawal of your bank. Colossians 3:23-25. Whatever you do, work at it wholeheartedly as though you were doing it for the Lord and not merely for people. 3:17, and whatever you do, whether it in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You know, whatever you do, wherever you find yourself in this life, make it count. Do whatever you need to do. Do not look at others and go, I need to be like that. Do not compare to somebody else. Their walk is for them. It's not for you. It's not. Your walk is for you. Your lot in life, in a way, is for you. It's not for somebody else. Somebody else can come around you and support you and encourage you and sow into you great things of God, but you've got to walk it. You've got to be it. You've been preordained by God. You know, when the world is full of comparison, you know, always got to compare ourselves to somebody else. Oh, only if I was. Ever have those words going through your head? Only if I was. Only if I was this. Only if I was that. Only if I was a bit prettier. Only if I was a bit skinnier. Only if I had family. Whatever it is, drop the only. God doesn't see you that way. God sees you as a son or daughter of his kingdom, of his family, who has something for you to do, to love others, to show kindness where kindness has not been shown, to make a difference in your world, not in a world that you are not supposed to be in, your world, your patch, your community. That's what we're doing here in Central Life. This is our community. We are the church together. You know, it blessed us so much last week. You were the church. You ran the church. You looked after each other. You looked after us. You made everything happen. You're being the church. That's it. That's what it's about. It's not about, well, this person's not here, so, you know, we won't be able to do that. Won't be able to have church. Oh, well, you know, the key person that calls everybody in the church, oh, well, that's just not going to happen. That's not how we operate here. You're the church. Everybody plays a part. Every part is of the body and it has many parts and it comes together as one to do what it's called to do together. Awesome, awesome, awesome. You know, make every moment count in our families. Make every moment count. Make the best of whatever situation your family is in. Some of us have great families, some of us don't. That's just life. But make the best of what you have. In relationships, make the best of what you have. You know, a lot of us have come from broken relationships. Jesus modeled everything out of relationship. When he met with his disciples, they broke bread. They shared a meal together. They went from house to house together. They spent time together. They built relationships. Everything is out of relationship, church. You know, we say here at Central Life, we say relationship before function. So come into our house and you might bring great gifts with you and we encourage you to get involved and use those gifts. But foremost, we're about relationship. Are we in relationship? You know, because, you know, things will change. You'll get involved in something and then something will change. But if you're in relationship, that's what holds you all together. It's relationship. It's valuing relationship. Jesus values relationship with us more so than what we can bring him, what we can do for God. Relationship. So make your relationships count. If you have some really difficult relationships, if forgiveness needs to come, if something needs to change, take a new journey with God to work on that. It's important. You know, when you hold to unforgiveness, like we all have in our lives at some point, it robs from you the other person may not even know that you hate them. They're going on in their life, living their life, and you are carrying something with you. Unforgiveness. Let it go. Life's too short. If God forgave us while he was hanging on a cross, dying for us, if he forgave us, the people that killed him, then we have to go through a process of unforgiveness with others, however hard it is. Live in peace. It's important. And we all get challenged on that regularly. There are some people that just get under your skin, don't they? They just get under your skin. Or they just hurt you with their words. They're just not very good with words. Or they've been hurt in their life and the only way they need to know how to have a relationship is to hurt others. There's a lot of that. But take the time, make your relationships count. Have special moments with God and with each other. We are family. We don't look the same, thank God. But we are family. And families are built on healthy relationships so that when the storm comes, the relationship carries us through. Not anything else. The relationship we have with God, the relationship we have with each other carries us through. James 4 verse 14 says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Life is short." Ephesians 5:15-17. "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Make it count because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish but understand what the Lord's will is." The Lord has a plan for each one of us. Big or small, it's all important to God. Understand what the Lord's will is for us. You know, Keith said, we talk a lot about where we're going. We do talk about death because I always say to him, because my mother died when I was quite young and I saw what my father went through and it was really, really hard. And he didn't deal with things really well. And there's a time of mourning for things that happen in our life and loss. And you have to give yourself that time. But then the oil of joy for mourning comes. And then you have to move on from there. But my father never did. And so Keith and I always talk about death. And I say, if I die first, you have to look after yourself. And you have to move on. And you have to, because for your whole family, for the kids and for everything, you have to move on. You have to process what you're going through. And he goes, "Oh, no, I could never do that." But you have to. And we talk about that all the time. We talk about, you know, processing things. And so every day that we get is a blessing. Every day that you get is a blessing. Make the best out of every situation and thank God. Cherish what you have, even if you think in your eyes it's not much. Cherish what you have. Be thankful. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's Thessalonians. Psalms, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." Ephesians, "Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Colossians, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." You know, this morning, I want to invite you up. Is there anybody in this place this morning that wants to give thanks to God right now? Come, right now. We should be continuously, whatever we're walking through, giving thanks to God. Is there anybody here this morning? Would you dare to step out this morning and come and give thanks to God for something this morning? Stepping out in faith.
I just like to give thanks to God. Actually, I give thanks to God every morning because I look at the roof above my head and I thank him that he provides for a roof over our head, because I have been homeless. It can happen to anyone. And so I just give thanks for just like the little things and give thanks that my daughter's got divorced and she's found love again and she's getting married again. So, even when you go through bad relationships, like Di said, you do have a second chance at love. And, you know, God does provide that. You've just got to have an open heart, forgive, let go of the past and just be thankful. I just want to say, a couple of you know that Sue here had a stroke while she gave communion, and I went and visited her on Friday. I try to visit her once a week because I've known her ever since I was 15. She's like a second mum to me. And you know, she is so, so gracious. She is immobile in her chair. And I go in and say, how are you going? And she goes, great. You know, she has got a lot to complain about, but she is so gracious and loving and still loves God. And we're coming up to the second year anniversary of when she had that stroke. And she just takes it all in a stride, and we talk about how good God is. And if you're ever having a bad day, you need to go to Nareen Gardens and visit her, because she just is the example of showing God how thankful she is.
Awesome. Thanks, Jen.
Thank you. I'd just like to give thanks to God for my health. I came in about partway through what you were saying, so I get what's going on for you during the week, and I'm almost 61 myself, and I've never had any of those kind of problems, thank the Lord. And there's a lot of guys I used to train with and play sport with, and those guys aren't here today. And while the rest of my life might not be that flash, that part really is. So thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else this morning?
I just want to give thanks for life in general. You know, I know a few people who things happen and that's it. You know, they give up and I just want to give thanks for your life and for our lives, and that, you know, we actually are here and we're here for a purpose, like Mum was saying. And when the bad stuff happens, that we don't just give up and go, oh, well, that's it, no one loves me. I know it's hard, but, you know, God loves you and your family loves you, and there is somebody that loves you. So just don't give up. Yeah.
Awesome. Anybody else? One more call. Come on down.
Catherine was telling me this morning that she's got a new house, and she was thankful because of that, weren't you, Catherine? Yeah.
She was ecstatic. Ecstatic. It's been a long road for Catherine. She's lived in some very difficult places in Wyong, and God's given her a new house in a much better place. And she's able still to come to church. So we thank God for that. That's awesome. Thanks, guys. You know, you have to acknowledge the season you're in and find the gold. There's always gold in every season. I've been watching, we've got Discovery And I've been watching the gold shows. Has anybody watched them? They're amazing, you know, like they always go looking for gold and they're always like thinking, I'm going to get gold. They're never going out there thinking I'm not. There are some difficult times where they have to dig to find gold. They're in some remote location in Australia digging. They got their, what do you call it? Gold detector, metal detector, you know, walking miles around the bush looking for gold. And they get some of them get very disheartened through that time. But once they dig, once there's a noise sounding on that machine and they dig and they find gold, they are ecstatic. There is gold in every season. You have to look for it. See, we don't go through things for nothing. You know, Ecclesiastes says there's a right time for everything. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill, a time to heal, hopefully not kill. A time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. We need more dancing. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search, a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. That's pretty much a representation of life's journey, there and then. There are seasons and times, but we've got to recognize the different seasons we're in and ask God to help us to find the gold. You may have to dig a bit, but there is gold and gems in every season. You know, grief, loss, hurt can all be restored in its right time. We've got to allow God and His Holy Spirit to work through us as God continuously makes us and restores us. He's into the restoring business, amen? He's into the restoring business. And I don't know about you, but if you have ever, you know, bought a piece of furniture on the side of the road or picked something up and it's pretty beaten and pretty old, rusted or faded or splitting wood. It's like sometimes we're like that. I remember thinking in life, even a couple of months ago, I was in worship in some other service at some other church and I remember just feeling, I was having a hard moment and I felt like damaged goods. I said to God, I just feel like I'm damaged goods. But the Father comes and He gives us life again. And He restores us like that piece of furniture. He rubs back all the marks, all the splintered wood, all the dry or the molded, wetted wood, whatever you call it. He rubs it back bit by bit in its time. And He restores us. He restores it like He stores the wood, paints it, varnishes it, makes it look the most amazing piece of furniture that you have ever seen and much better than what it originally was. And that's what the Father does for us. In every season, there is a restoring that happens if we allow Him to. Let God be God in our lives. Let Him be God. This morning, would you be standing? You know, last Saturday, I really had to pray afterwards for God to remove the things I kept seeing. I kept seeing Keith sliding down the wall over and over and over again. And I said to God very quickly, because I understand about, you know, post-traumatic stress and all those sorts of things that happen when you go through things. I had to ask God very quickly, God, take the images away. I don't want to see them anymore. I want to see You make good out of bad. I want You to restore the situation much better than what it was. And so this morning, my prayer is that God is continuously restoring us. He's continuously reminding us of who we are in Him. He's continuously reminding us to make whatever we do count. Whatever we do, do it for the Lord. Make a difference in your world, in your space, with what you have, not with what you don't have. It's so important to God and to us as a body. Father God, this morning, I thank you, Lord God, that whatever place we might find ourselves in this life, Lord God, that you would help us. If we need restoring, Lord God, that you would start the process gently with us, Lord God. Lord God, if we've been in a place, if there's some of us here this morning that have been in a place, a very hard place, where we thought we don't count. What's this all about? Where we've lost purpose. Lord God, make a change and a shift in our minds, in our hearts, in our lives. Make that shift. Father God, this morning, if there be any of us here this morning that have not met you personally, Lord God, I pray right now that they would find you, that they would open up their heart to you this morning in this place. They would give themselves over to you to live a life that counts. Lord Jesus, have your way. Have your way, Father God, with whatever our life is. Lord God, shine through our lives. Shine, shine where there's darkness. Shine your light, Lord God. Thank you, Father. You know, this morning, I just want to open up the altar for anybody this morning that needs prayer. If you need prayer, come this morning. Step out of your seat and come this morning and we'll pray for you. That's what church is about. It's about encouraging each other to keep going, to making our lives count. You know, if there are people here this morning and you don't know Jesus and you want to know him, come this morning and we'll pray for you. If there's people here this morning and things have not been going so well in your walk in Christ, maybe you've walked away, come this morning and we'll pray for you. Do not leave this place this morning upset, because God is good and all his blessings are good. And he cares for you and I immensely. Father, we thank you this morning for that. If you need prayer, come. Otherwise, we release you this morning. We have church lunch on, so don't leave without feeding your face. Bless you, church. Have a good week.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.